Welcome to Success Secrets, the podcast where we dive into the inspiring stories of individuals who have overcome obstacles and achieved remarkable success in their professional lives. Get ready to be inspired and discover their secrets to success. Today, we're excited to feature Violeta Chacan, a VC, a visionary, venture capitalist in blockchain and crypto. With 12 years in startups and 20 million across 14 deals, Violeta leads Vis Gaeli, supporting outstanding entrepreneurs. As creator of Web 2 Plus One with VC podcast, she amplifies Web 3 voices. Join us as we uncover Violeta's inspiring journey. Hello, Violeta. Welcome to Success Secrets. It's such a pleasure to have you on. How are you doing today?
Hi, it's so a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me here on this podcast. So it's a great job that you are doing, and thank you so much.
Of course, of course. And I know we met in Lisbon a while back, and I've been following your journey. You're doing really cool, amazing things. And it's great to see a woman like you succeeding. In the finance industry, I know how difficult it can be, especially in a male-dominated industry. So let's begin. Can you share a bit about your background and how you first got started in the finance industry?
Yeah, thank you so much for this question. So I've been in the industry already like for 12 years. 12 years in startups and venture capital. So my area is financial area, but it's more like investing. So it's a venture capital investing in startups that is developing some innovative technologies. So that is my background, and I have been already closing like 20 million in investments, like across 14 deals. Some of them had already IPO, M&A, so some success stories and track record there. Some of them are very well known also like in Portugal, because I'm based in Portugal, in Lisbon right now. So I came to VC like when I was 20 years old. I know it's like very early, it seems like. Yeah, but I'm very purposeful and driven, like in general. So I find out about venture capital when I was 19 years old. So I'm originally actually not from Portugal. So I'm based in Portugal right now, but I'm originally from Eastern Europe. And that time I've been living in Belarus. So that's where I'm from. So a post-Soviet country where is no venture capital exists. So it was, I didn't know about venture capital anything. So I was studying, and I was going to this program that is called Work and Travel USA. So I was going to United States to work, and I did it once when I was like 18 years old. And it was non-qualified jobs. I was like, okay, next time I need to find something else. And I was thinking about bookkeeping, accounting, or something like that, because I'm naturally very talented in math and finance. And I asked it everyone, and it was friend of a friend who just introduced me to the venture capitalist in the United States. It's just such a random intro that you cannot imagine. And that's how I find out about venture capital. And I was so fascinated by this industry. So first of all, I love technology like all the time. So I was like reading all the books, everything. So I knew everything about Intel, IBM, Apple, that time Microsoft as well. I read lots of books, and my mom was a developer as well. So I was like, oh my God, this is amazing, amazing field. But in the same time, I was super talented in math, right, and finance. So just naturally. So that intersection was like kind of like very interesting for me. So I did the interview with this person. So this person was looking for someone that will be an intern and analyst afterwards. So we agreed on internship. And it was very funny because someone believed in me that early. I was 19 years old, and I was actually hired as an intern, and it's like analytical job. I still have this job offer, by the way, in my computer. In the venture capital, just imagine this, someone who is from Belarus, who is not like not in the United States, but someone just find it, like I read a lot of obviously like technology and startups as well. So I could impress such kind of person. But unfortunately, I didn't go to United States. So that's a very interesting story, because my passport was stolen and it was with a visa, just like, it was just like less than a month before I was supposed to go to United States. So I never had that opportunity to work with this amazing person, but we're still in touch with him, and he is a great venture capitalist. But from that point, because I was learning before going to this job, obviously I was learning, I was reading a lot, and I was, yeah, that's my field. So I was like, I will do everything possible in my power just to get to this job. So I was still studying. I was a full-time student, obviously, but I was looking for a full-time job. So I'm crazy in that sense. I was working like since my 18 years old. I was an entrepreneur already like before. So and at 20 years old, I got an offer. So I basically wrote emails to every possible investment firm that was that time in Belarus, and one of them returned to me, and they've been managing a small fund, like not a very very big fund, but it was an American fund, and they wanted to invest like across all Eastern Europe, so several countries, and they've been hiring. So that's how I end up in VC industry. So it's amazing journey. I love it so far. So never looked back, never thought about anything else. I did some trying out like different. So I had my startup as well. So at 21, I founded my startup. So I had that experience. I had experience also in consulting a little bit. So I did some consultancies as well. But still venture capital, I think it's like, it's my calling. And you know, it's also funny because my name is Violeta Chekan, so it's like VC, you know, like the initials.
Oh yeah.
So I think it's like, you know, I just been born for this role.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, it's your name. It's your initials. This is who you are, VC.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I love that. I mean, like, you've been in VC for how many years? 12 years? 14 years?
Yeah, so 12 years in startups and venture capital investing, but active investing, it was 8 years, if we count, like, once I've been already taking the decisions to invest, yeah.
Wow, that's an amazing journey, and very interesting. And to rewind that back, could you tell us more about, like, for example, the struggles that you faced within the VC industry and the finance industry as a whole, and how you've managed to overcome it?
Struggles. I think I'm more like, the person that takes the challenges and as, like adventures, I would say. So I wouldn't say that I had like struggles or something, because I love the challenges. I love the uncertainty it provides. What I can mention, that obviously that's something that in, you know, like that's also like you're a woman, me a woman, that unfortunately most of the time I'm just the only woman in the room. So that is like venture capital industry is very dominated by male, and that's, I think, it's not like really a struggle, but it's a challenge for the whole industry to bring up more like, you know, women and also minorities, you know, like also like other groups, which are still not present very much. So it's like male, white male dominated industry. And I think we need diversity, because there is so many ideas and the consumer has really changed in the last years. So that means that in the startups that we invest and we take the decision to invest, they need to be different, right? And who is taking the decision, right? So that's like the person who is in charge, right? And we need to have, I think, a little bit more of diversity on that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can understand your struggles. I'm a woman in finance as well. And yeah, I mean, it hasn't been an easy journey, but we use that to our advantage, right? We make that a strength for ourselves. And I can see you've clearly done it. And you haven't let that stop you from anything. And you've used it as your strength, essentially, which is great to see. So, and onto the finance area, the finance VC area, obviously the industry is always constantly evolving very rapidly. How do you stay ahead of the curve and adapt to the changes in the industry?
learn, always learning journey. So I'm very curious by nature, and I learn a lot. So VC investor is not just like meeting people and deciding to invest. So you need to know like all the market, where is this goes and how the evolution goes of the technology as well. So you need to kind of like being ahead of the trends and being ahead of the rest of the world, that I would say. It's not easy. And definitely you need to read a lot. So I read a lot of market research. So I really love this CB Insights and PitchBook. So that's my like favorite. Then I'm also in Web3 industry, blockchain. So that is a very specific and niche, which is I am right now, right? So I am developing right now a B2B blockchain accelerator. So that's focused on B2B solutions, enterprise for using blockchain technology for solving different problems. And definitely like Twitter is one of the most interesting sources for me. So I find most of my like recent information, especially like on Zeus and everything, what is happening, where is like the market goes, like what is the narrative through Twitter. So that's like I have that they're like, you know, like the list, the Twitter provides like lists. So I have a list of like sources that I'm reading. I'm also reading like some influences, definitely, of course, like in my industry. So yeah, lots of learning all the time. And the thing is also like you need to have like that mentality, you know, very flexible mentality, because you cannot just like, you know, stay and be thinking, oh, this is the way it is. Like you need to adjust all the time. You need to see, okay, market is going there. So you just need to quickly adjust and like being flexible and also looking to different ideas and being open-minded to new things.
Amazing. Always keep learning, right? That's so important. And I always say that the day that you stop learning is the day that you start dying. because it's so important to always absorb everything around you and take everything in and evolve and grow, right? That's how we get better. So onto you mentioned that you had an accelerator program for blockchain. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, definitely. So right now, like blockchain adoption, the blockchain technology adoption is right now like already much developed and much mature. So we see a lot of interesting cases on the market, and the corporates especially, they're investing in blockchain. Have you known that actually 80% of Fortune 500 already have initiatives of blockchain technology? So that is like, yeah, so it's amazing. And they have right now also, you know, all the regulation in place. So it's finally the market is going there. So the crypto regulation, MiCA in Europe, that was already enforced from this year. So corporates are actively looking for working with startups. So that's what we're trying to do. So we have developed an amazing program. It's really like one of the top in the world. So it's basically matching corporates who are looking to get involved with blockchain technology and startups who are developing these solutions and looking for expanding their sales pipeline, so we can connect both corporates and startups. So for the startup, the value add is definitely they can have clients and they can have like lots of meetings like once at once, because sales cycle in corporates is with the corporates is a little bit, you know, like very long. So you need to, and you know, probably, right? So you've been like also entrepreneur with different things. And it's very difficult for a startup to get this traction. So that's what we do. And we work also with corporates from the other side. So we help them to get these, you know, blockchain insights and the market insights, so they can take like very informed decisions. So that is what I'm doing right now. So we are launching the first cohort very soon. We have amazing mentors. We have amazing team as well. So I'm very proud that we you know, pull out that people all together. And of course, like as me as investor, so I'm also looking to support the best teams, so those who are passing through the program and you know, showing like the best results. So I'm happy to see them grow and support them also by capital.
So who would be your ideal target market? I know it's blockchain, but is it mostly like blockchain companies based in Portugal, or is it all around Europe? And how do you work with them? Is it all online, or do you also do in person?
Yeah, so the program is it's international online program. So we try to bring like the best from all around the world, and also something that is for me also it's very personal because you know I've been born like right in Eastern Europe, and in Belarus, which is was a very post-Soviet country, there was no accelerators when I started my startup. There was no accelerators. There was no mentorship. There was no support. All of these tools, and imagine the countries like Latin America, Africa, for example, which is also have this lack of this access to these like amazing tools. So we want to have, you know, bringing them on board as well and giving this opportunity to people. And also something that is very interesting as well from the blockchain perspective market. So it's very international. It's not very like there's no so much local deal flow, even I would say. So my deal flow right now is very international. So definitely Europe is kind of more because I am located in Europe. It's naturally because the team, the full team, is located in Europe, so it's more natural, but we're trying to bring like more so it's remote. We chose we've been thinking about like bringing remote or not, but remote is kind of like working the best because again people could have access from anywhere around the world and they can learn and they can have the same access as anyone like in United States or like, you know, in UK, which are considered you know, like a little bit better countries, not a little bit, it's like best countries in the world for, you know, startups and capital access.
Yeah, very interesting. And it's nice that you're giving those who are less able to get it in those countries access to that, because it's, I mean, that's what's going to help the economy and the world grow, right? By helping where it's underserved. Which is really nice to see. So can you share, onto another question, could you share a particularly challenging moment in your career and how you navigated through it?
Oof. To be honest, like, I don't know. I'm very, as I mentioned right before, so I'm like challenges and I'm passing them through. So I think like the biggest challenge is right now because like I'm launching, I launched the podcast, so I just quit my job. So that was a very, very interesting moment. So I just decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I had like a little bit of plan, but it was, you know, there was so much of uncertainty. I quit my job. I launched the podcast. So yeah, I do have also a podcast about Web3 where I have interviews with Web3 entrepreneurs and leaders from the blockchain and crypto space. So, and then I also started developing this, the accelerator, right? So it was very challenging, definitely. Like I never done something like, you know, with no such like, you know, insurance, I would say, right? So it's just like believing in yourself and betting on yourself. And I was like, okay, what worst case scenario happened? Like, and you know, like I'm always like not regretting anything because I am choosing always action versus inaction. So I think this is very important thing to, you know, for listeners to have in mind, because like people regret usually about not acting on something. So that's how I choose also to act. And I knew that I know that I figure out things. I have this confidence in myself. I know that I will find the team. I will find the ways to do this. I have this already experience as well. And I have the support of my friends and family. So let's do this. Yeah.
Amazing. I love that energy as well. You're like, it's now or never. And you don't want to get to, for example, 60 or 70 where you're like, oh, damn, I wish I did that. You're doing it because you know the repercussions. If you don't do it, then you're going to regret it, right? And I was actually saying on the previous podcast, the first ones actually, was that even if you fail at what you do, you fail forward because you're learning you're developing so many different skills in different areas that you wouldn't have known if you didn't put yourself in that. For example, you start a business, you're going to learn sales, you're going to learn marketing, you're going to learn leadership and everything like that.
Yeah.
And that is going to propel you to succeed in other areas. So yeah, if you're going to, if this, for the listeners, if you're planning on starting a business or thinking of going into a new venture, just do go for it, right? Like,
yeah,
it's now or never. Just go for it and learn on the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like that's you mentioned also, like I had a startup which I actually failed, right? So, but I learned so much. So, you know, like it's obvious, it's not like a fail because you learn from the journey. But, you know, like I started this startup when I was 21 years old. I had zero knowledge, I would say, right? So in many, many things, but I learned so much. So, for example, right now I could pull out like websites, sales pipeline, everything just because I know how to do this because I learned that before. And that's confidence already also comes. So even if you like having some, you know, like businesses and you're creating, and it's a normal process. So 95% obviously like startups fail. Unfortunately, that is the rate. But if you try one, you learn one, two, three skills. So you start another one and you always restart another one because like if you were like they got into the entrepreneurial journey, like you always restart. So I also had another consulting company as well before. So we had with some friends as well, like it was very successful, but I returned to VC because I mentioned, right? So I had also consulting some consulting projects. So you learned like, so I have been, you know, like with this entrepreneurial journey, like all over again and again and again. And, you know, like this is something that is important to know. First of all, every successful entrepreneur has some failures. It's something that is very important to hear. No one is just starting out and everything is like, oh, everything is like, you know, the fairy tale. And you just like, no, it's not. It's a hard work. And you need to accept these failures. You need to learn from those failures, right? So, and grow from it and start again. And there was some kind of a quote even like we success comes not from achievements, but from failures or something like, or from lessons, something like this. I don't remember exactly the quote, but that's exactly. And I know many successful people, each of them has some kind of a journey. So it's normal. And because many people are afraid to fail, you know, like why they're not starting out their own business because they're afraid to fail. And that is something that is wrong because you need to accept the failure. You need to go through the failure. And eventually, yeah, you will be successful because like that is a journey. So ups and downs.
Yeah, I love that you've said that as well, because so many people are stuck in their corporate jobs, wishing that they could have this entrepreneurial journey and start a business. But they're just thinking, oh, what happens if I fail? But then that's the wrong mindset. You have to think, okay, what happens if I succeed? And then you also have to think, actually, so what if I fail? I'm going to learn so much. I'm going to gain so much knowledge. And that is going to propel me towards my next success. And the more times you fail, the more likely you are to succeed as well.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And something that is like worst case scenario from the corporate job, you can return always to your corporate job. I mean, like, exactly. I mean, of course, like not everyone is supposed to be an entrepreneur. That's also normal. And some people will try out and they will figure out, okay, I don't want to be on doing that, for example, because we are all different and it's normal, right? So all personalities. But then, yeah, like worst case scenario, you just return to your job. Like what will happen? Nothing, nothing will happen. And that's something that, people just afraid that, oh my God, how I'm going to do this. You know, it's like a lot of fear. Just accept the fear, just accept this journey, accept that, yeah, so I might fail, but it's okay. I can learn so much, but what if I succeed? And then, you know, like you have like amazing journey and you have amazing achievements and fulfillment in your life. So that is, yeah, achievements are very, you know, like once you like succeed and it's like, and you know that, oh my God, that is like a very great feeling. And once it's like you've done it by yourself, so yeah, it's a great feeling, and it's a great, like, you know, self-accomplishment, that feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to put yourself out there and just go for it. So if you were to give aspiring entrepreneurs, for example, two pieces of advice, what would it be?
First, always choose action versus inaction. That is first thing. Second thing, always accept, like, the responsibility, and don't look for the excuses, because people, I think, look for so many excuses. Why not? Why that? And once you accept that, you understand that you just, first of all, you're like in a learning journey, and whatever happens, you just don't look for excuses. Oh, like the market was not going that way, or like, you know, like, you just accept that, okay, I need to learn that. I don't know how to do that, so that is my responsibility. So I need to learn that. And once you just, like, go in and learning that, I think that's where is the magic comes from. So choosing action versus inaction. Because, you know, like, there is also, people always say that, like, start walking and the path will appear. It's completely true. Also, like, entrepreneurial journey is always like, you never will have a plan. You will never figure out everything, like, you know, up front. You always will encounter different challenges, and it's always like, market will be changing, your competitors will be changing, everything will be changing, right? So, and your mindset as well will be changing, which is also very important. So whatever you start the journey from, you will end up with a completely different. So just having also this open mind and, yeah, just walking through the path, and the path will appear. That is exactly what mindset, I think, and mentality people should think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, your life isn't going to be one straight path. And if it was, it would be boring. It would be a pretty boring life, because everything would be planned out for you. There's always going to be bumps and turns in life that you would never think would happen, but happen. And then you're redirected into a whole new life and area. Like, for example, I've got a house in Koh Samui now, and I'm living here 3 months a year. And 2 years ago, I never would have thought I'd be doing this. So it's kind of like just being open-minded, like you said, and just being open to the possibilities in life.
Yeah, of course.
So I think it's an important question as well. How do you balance the demands of running your own accelerator program and VC with your personal life and also well-being?
Mm-hmm. No balance. I think, you know, like, that is something that most thing that I'm struggling with in European mentality, because Europe is really a lot like talking about work-life balance. And then they try to be, you know, like, it's the European ecosystem being competitive with, like, United States, right? Do you know any successful company that been built on work-life balance? I don't know any. Like, I don't know any. So, obviously, I'm doing some of the things to treat myself. And I think it's important to have this awareness, first of all. So what I'm doing, it's like yoga, meditations. I started running. I love running. Like, lots of sport. I love sport just because I love sport. So I think it's like, it's also healthy. Of course, the healthy food, it's also very important to be staying productive. Sleep, it's also like, I'm trying to prioritize as well, like, at least, like, you know, 7 hours sleep. So I cannot manage 8 hours, to be honest, but like 7 hours, it's already okay. It's not like 4 hours or 6 hours. Which sometimes I also do, but I try to, you know, prioritize. But why I'm doing this, because, like, in order to stay productive, right, so you need to treat yourself. So you cannot be, like, very productive on the long term if you drink alcohol, eat some, like, you know, bad food, fast food especially, like, right? So you just cannot, because it affects your body and how you feel, and affects your hormones. So you end up, like, being... not mentally and physically on the best. So I think it's important to do the things. But in the end of the day, it's not work-life balance. It's more like work balance, I would say.
Work balance, yeah. I also love to say health is wealth as well. So if you look after your health in terms of fitness, which is what you're doing, and also your health, it propels you to perform better in your role. And like me, for example, I'm always thinking about work. My business is my baby. I'll be checking my emails all the time, but I'm okay with doing that because it's my business at the end of the day. But I'm just balancing around it to make sure that I'm in optimal health mentally, physically, and overall healthily as well to perform at my best. So yeah, I get what you mean.
what do you do, by the way? What do you do for yourself?
Oh, I do a number of things. So I love Muay Thai. So I love doing boxing. So this quarter, actually, I've prioritized fitness. So I'm pretty much working out 6 days a week. And then I'll alternate between Muay Thai, yoga, and Pilates. So good mentally, like getting your anger out in boxing and then calming down through yoga, and also Pilates for core strength, because you're always sitting at your desk, so it's good to have a strong core. I feel like that's really helped me to actually be excited to have that ambition and just drive me towards the business as well. So I feel like it's like fitness isn't just about staying fit and looking good. It's also about being mentally strengthened in the mind as well.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, I actually did karate before. So I love this martial arts. And I wanted to try Muay Thai. So if you know anyone in Lisbon, like, just do recommend me.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I'll send it over for sure.
That would be awesome. Thanks.
No worries. So we're coming to the end of our podcast now, and I just had one more question for you. If you could go back in time to your younger self at 21, what would you tell them?
Oh my, 21. Well, I just would say enjoy the journey. I think it's very important just to, you know, like, relax, enjoying what you do, and trust the process, and trust the path. So 21, I was, that time, I was starting my startup initially. So I think it was so uncertain, by the way, time, but it was amazing time because I had also woman co-founder, so a female co-founder. So we've been two girls doing that, and we didn't have any kind of resources. We didn't have any access to capital, mentors as well, because it was like non-existent in post-Soviet environment where I'm from. And so you need to figure out everything by yourself. So it was a very interesting journey. We learned so much. And so we've been starting working with big corporations that time, and it was such a big success for us. And doing this technology and platform, and it was like very, very interesting time. It was very interesting.
Amazing. So, love that. Trust the process. Okay. I think that's super important. So just to wrap things up, a couple of quick fun fire questions.
All right.
What's your favorite quote?
You don't get what you don't ask for.
I love that. I live by that as well.
You know the story behind that quote. So I was because I was exactly like at my 21 when I was starting my startup, and I read this amazing blog post from the Harvard alumni. So it's a person who was from this amazing school, which I was like dreaming about, right? And she was saying, it was a girl, she was saying exactly that what Harvard teaches you, it's exactly like this quote, like, you don't get what you don't ask for. And that is so, because she was also from the post-Soviet environment. And sometimes we being there, like, you know, with not asking, but expecting things and not like, you know, going for, you know, initiatives and everything, which is where I was always entrepreneurial and like I always was going for that. But this quote, it was like, oh my God, this is like so amazing. And yeah, it was amazing quote. Yeah, it's my favorite one. I always remember it. Yeah,
I love it. And I always tell a lot of people as well, because some people are scared to ask for things. And I always say, if you don't ask, you don't get. And if you don't ask, the answer will always be no. So yeah, if you ask, it could be a yes. So you never know, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And what's your favorite book?
Only the Paranoid Survive by Andrew Grove. So he was a CEO of Intel for I think the third employee and the third CEO. So yeah, and the book is about business. And my first book that I read about business. So I actually bought this book, and I was looking for actually original from the 1996. So but no, it's from 1998. yeah, I love this book because it teaches you business and it teaches like a very different perspective, and it's about yeah, so the business practices and about flexibility and being able to change as a big organization, because it's about Intel as well. So Andrew he is also like, by the way, from the Eastern Europe, so from Hungary, okay. That is right now. So it's amazing story of him and his amazing biography. I'm just very inspired by this person. And then this book is teaching how Intel passes through the competition and through the market changes, and this flexible mentality and always being ready for a change, which is... Mm-hmm. Very interesting from the perspective of the big corporation, because I am working with VCs, like, so startups, you know, like that is like, you're always flexible. You're always like, you know, going there and there on the direction where it's like the market goes. But as a corporation, I think it's also very important to have this approach. Yeah. And
yeah, for sure. Yeah. What was the name again? Let me write that down.
Only the Paranoid Survive. Oh, I really recommend that. Yeah, Only the Paranoid Survive. Yeah.
Paranoid Survive.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, perfect. I'm going to read that. Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you for joining, Violetta. It's been such a pleasure having you and learning all about your journey to success and everything in between. And I know my listeners are going to love your story as well and enjoy having to hear what you have to say. So thank you.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure to catch up with you and have this amazing chat. And thank you so much for listeners to listen a little bit of my story. And yeah, check it out also, like, if you're like in blockchain space or like looking to be involved in crypto, check it out our website, like viskaeli.com. So that is the accelerator. So, and yeah, so looking forward.
Amazing. Yeah, I'll leave the your socials and website and everything in the social handle so they can easily have access it to for you as well.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.